and welcome to this International Airport Review podcast. For this episode, I caught up with Sachaki Raghunath, who is Chief Strategy and Development Officer of Bangalore International Airport. In this podcast, we discussed the journey of his airport, its future vision, and its role in the wider region. Remember to subscribe to International Airport Review to be notified of all future podcasts. Sachaki, thank you so much for agreeing to be my podcast guest.
Thank you so much, Holly. It's always a pleasure.
So to begin with, perhaps you could start by telling me about the 15-year journey of BL and the progress of BL from a PPP Greenfield Airport project to a two-terminal airport with enhanced capacity.
So it does seem like yesterday, actually, when we started working on this airport project. And I remember when the project started off, I was in the consulting business and Bangalore Airport was a client at that point. And the site here, the 4,000-acre campus here, it was just a large field, agricultural land and a field. And I think if you've got to step back a little bit to understand the genesis of the project. And I think for that, you've got to go back to the early 90s, when aviation started becoming more than just what Air India and Indian Airlines used to do. And at that point, I think Bangalore City was just starting to grow. And there'd been various attempts to have a proper airport which could be expanded and capacity could be added for the city of Bangalore. And the old airport in Bangalore was in the heart of the city. It was a small single runway facility which was primarily owned and operated by Hindustan Aeronautics Limited, and therefore, you know, primarily used for testing and for defense purposes. And there were significant capacity constraints with respect to both space as well as operating hours because of the nature of the airfield and that particular facility there. So after much sort of, debate, discussion, political wrangling, and lots of sort of multiple attempts at going forward with the project, the concession agreement was signed in 2004, finally, after about 10 years of discussions. And the first operation started in 2008. And we just recently, as you said, celebrated our 15th anniversary here at Bangalore Airport. And in that time, I think quite a few incredible things have happened. The city of Bangalore itself has grown quite spectacularly. And it was growing even as the airport was being built. So the traffic forecast for the first phase of the airport development themselves were revised at least three times. And originally, an airport that had been planned for about 6 million in capacity was finally opened with about 12 million in capacity. And in the first year of operation, we had 9 million passengers. And that was quite something. And very quickly, the operators of Bangalore Airport, and in those days, it was the shareholders were Zurich Airport, L&T, and Siemens. They took a call to expand that facility and increase that capacity from 12 million to about 22, 23 million by adding three bays to the pier and to the terminal on each side and adding a pier extension also for the international service, because it became very quickly apparent that international traffic was also going to grow here at Bangalore Airport. They did that, and then between 2008 when the airport opened and 2012-13 when the airport sort of completed this phase of expansion, I mean, it was actually complete probably in 10-11, but when it was first started to get, it was starting to be operated, there were a lot of things that changed in Indian aviation. IndiGo, which was sort of the big no-frills carrier here in India, started to grow at a spectacular rate. Kingfisher Airlines, which had a significant base here at BLR Airport, actually collapsed, conversely. And then AirAsia India also set up their base here in Bangalore. And all of these factors, even despite the fact of a major airline collapse, I think between 2013 and 18, we grew quite spectacularly. We grew for a period sort of between 15 and 19 at a CAGR of about 20%. And it's quite spectacular. There were 2 years where we grew at about 27-28% year on year. So all in all, by the time we celebrated our 10th anniversary in 2018, we'd actually hit 27 million passenger traffic numbers. And that was three times the traffic in the first year. And during this time, we did a couple of master plan updates. And what was pretty evident was that we were going to have to expand far more rapidly than we had originally thought. So the master plan, which was originally set up for ultimate saturation capacity of about 40-45 million on a two-runway system, had been revised in 11-12 to say the airport was going to probably hit 55-60 million at the end of its concession period. and a second runway would also be needed pretty quickly. So work on that project started in about 2016-17, and the new runway was delivered in December 2019, just before COVID broke. And we'd also, in the meanwhile, as part of all these developments, embarked on the largest capital program in the history of Bangalore Airport. And that was about a $2 billion expansion here. And that involved that second runway, which is an independent parallel runway, Code F capable runway, and the first phase of a new terminal, which was delivered in November last year and began operations in January of 2023. And a number of other projects on the land side, support utilities, cargo access, et cetera, across the campus, you know, stores, and various other smaller projects, all of which comprise that $2 billion capital program. We've just sort of completed or are in the process of completing that phase of expansion. International operations will transition over to the new terminal in the next 2 months. And at that point, a large part of this development program for this phase will be complete. And we lost 2.5, probably even 3 years to COVID. We had reached 33 million actually just before COVID. And then it dropped to about 11 million in the first year of COVID. Then we had a slight growth to about 16.5 million in the second year. And then this fiscal year, which ended in March 2023, we ended with just under 32 million passengers. In the coming year, we expect we will hit about 40 million passengers. So the new terminal couldn't have been timed any better. So along with the new runway, the new terminal and all of this expansion work, I think we are on track to hit 40 million this year. Our capacity here will be about 55 million at that point, spread between the two terminals. Terminal 1, which is the old terminal, is spread over about 170,000 square meters and has a capacity of about 25, 26 million passengers, which is an integrated terminal, domestic and international. We handled 33 million with very little difficulty because the international and domestic peaks were very different, as they are at most airports in India. So we could swing the facilities. The new terminal adds about 25 million in capacity and is spread over 255,000 square meters. And that's a flagship facility. It's built around four pillars. The fact that the terminal embodies what Bangalore City stands for, which is the Garden City of India. It was a Garden City when I was growing up, at least, although it's developed significantly since. It's also the technology capital of India, and it's known as the Silicon Valley of India. So the second pillar is built around technology. A third pillar is around principles of sustainability. It's already been LEED Platinum rated even before it went into operation. And that's something that we take very seriously here at the airport. And finally, it's developed around the art and cultural heritage of the city of Bangalore, the state of Karnataka, and sort of the local region, to reflect the aspirations and of the people, the sense of place, the culture, the art, the heritage, and sort of show to visitors, guests, and sort of the city of Bangalore why it's sort of the gateway to this region. So that terminal will have a 10 million passenger international capacity and about 15 million passenger domestic capacity in the first phase. We will add a second phase in the next few years, which is going to increase the footprint area by another 200,000 square meters and add another 20 million in domestic passenger capacity. In the meanwhile, we will refurbish Terminal 1 also. That's a project that we will start later this year. So when we finish the refurbishment of Terminal 1, and if you take that along with our current Terminal 2 first phase capacity, we will have capacity in the region of between 55 and 60 million passengers, depending on how we peak and average aircraft size and things like that. So I think we've been exceptionally lucky with the fact that we've recovered from COVID faster than a lot of other regions. I think we timed our investments very well over the course of the last 10 years. So we've always sort of been investing in capacity here at the airport. And the fact that demand has really been picking up every time we've had a bit of a glitch, whether it was the financial crisis in 2008-09, or it was the collapse of Kingfisher in 12-13, or then the collapse of Jet Airways in 2018, and then now COVID. Regardless of all of this, I think we're all pretty confident that traffic will bounce back at a crazy pace. I think the Indian carriers have collectively ordered about 1,000 aircraft over the course of the last 8 months. I think they will be delivered over the course of the next 5 to 7 years. And even accounting for replacement of fleet, the base fleet in India will grow from about 700 aircraft that we have today to somewhere between 1,200 and 1,400 aircraft over the course of the next decade. And I think we are exceptionally well positioned to make sure that we can capture that growth in demand.
Wow, thank you so much, Sachaki, for such a comprehensive answer. And it sounds like you've been enjoying continued success. So very much looking forward to seeing what the next phase is. Now, we know that airports themselves are huge socioeconomic engines. So you touched upon the city that it sits in. So how do you think that the airport will fuel the growth of this city in the future?
I mean, I think it's already the largest contributor to the state economy today. And if you look at it, it does two things. We had 33 million passengers in the year just before COVID. So if you take that as sort of the baseline, of that, we had about 4.6 million international visitors or passengers, and we had about, 28 odd million domestic passengers. And we are by far the largest gateway into South India and possibly into South and Central India. We are now connected to about 75 domestic destinations and 25 international destinations. And that's a number that's continued to grow over the course of the last 4 or 5 years. And that nonstop connectivity to so many destinations, both within India as well as sort of globally, has meant that the economic growth is driven by that connectivity. And the fact that we have that ability to connect Bangalore as a city and the region, I mean, this region within the state of Karnataka, to different parts of India as well as the world, has played a huge role in driving that economic growth. And I'm talking about whether it's direct impact, indirect impact, or induced impact driven by the airport. And over the course of the last 5 years, the number of destinations that we've connected nonstop has also increased significantly. From an international perspective, if you just take the last 4 or 5 years, even accounting for COVID, we've had long-haul connectivity to a number of new destinations that we've opened up. I mean, first it was Amsterdam in Europe, then it was Addis in Africa, then we connected Tokyo Narita, we connected San Francisco, we connected Sydney, and we will start services to Munich later this year, and a second daily service to Heathrow early next year. So we're already connected to Paris, Heathrow, and a number of other Frankfurt, other European destinations, across Asia and the Far East, as well as, now North America and Australia. The only continent that we're not connected to directly at this point is South America, for instance. So I think that that's been a huge driver of economic growth in itself. And the fact that airlines think that flying into Bangalore makes sense is a testament both to the quality of the airport, but I think even more importantly, the fact that this region is exceptionally promising from an economic perspective. And it's driven by both very strong business and corporate travel that pre-COVID used to be about 78% of our travelers. And what's been an interesting trend during COVID and post-COVID, which is an increase in leisure traffic. And that has also meant that despite the fact that there's been a slight fall in the volume of business travel, we've actually seen our numbers hold steady and grow. And in fact, our domestic traffic has now recovered to about 105, 106% of pre-COVID levels, which is quite astonishing. The second aspect is that I think over the last 4 or 5 years, we've connected a lot of the hinterland in and around Bangalore. So we are now connected to about 23 destinations within a 75-minute flying time from Bangalore. And that's meant that that connectivity has also helped in feeding the international traffic. So there's a lot more connectivity between domestic to international, international to domestic happening at Bangalore Airport. The third aspect of this is that by having all of these connections, it's not just the passenger traffic that's grown in volumes. We've had a huge growth in our cargo volumes. There was a point when we started this airport when I don't think we would have even figured in the top, 6 or 7 destinations in India from a cargo perspective. And over the course of the last decade or so, we've actually grown to the fact that we are now by far India's third busiest airport from both passenger and from a cargo perspective. We now handle about 425,000 metric tons of cargo a year. And we've got a capacity here of about 715,000 metric tons. And we believe that over the course of the next 5 to 7 years, our cargo volumes will also grow to well in excess of 1 million metric tons annually. And to that, in order to make sure that we cater to that demand, we've just signed up on 2 new JVs with world-class cargo partners, including WFS and Menzies. And they will operate our cargo terminals. And I believe that, between the passenger traffic and the cargo volumes that we generate, we're huge economic drivers, like I said before. And the fact is that we have world-class infrastructure here. We've got world-class people in terms of making sure that we deal with all of our processes as efficiently as possible. And I think we provide a very engaging passenger and customer experience to all of our passengers and stakeholders. And that's meant that it's been recognized by multiple sort of international awards and bodies, as well as the fact that I think the proof of the pudding is in the eating. And therefore, if more and more international airlines are starting to show up here in Bangalore, it's a testament to the quality of traffic that they're seeing here at Bangalore, as well as the economic potential of the region, the purchasing power of the, not just the Indian middle class, but particularly of Bangalore as a city, and also the potential of cargo, as you can drive it through here and within the hinterland. So I think all of these they've just come together and really made Bangalore Airport the success story that it is today. So I'm in no doubt that over the course of the next decade, we're actually going to see three times the volumes that we have seen historically. So pre-COVID, we had about 33 million passengers. We had about 375,000 metric tons of cargo and those sorts of numbers. And we had a single runway. And I think now we're going to, over the next decade, probably see somewhere between 90 and 100 million passengers flowing through here on the two runway system, as well as about 1.2 million metric tons of cargo going through the airport. So the key thing is for us to make sure that we invest in the people, process, the infrastructure, and the technology in order to make sure that we can cater to that demand and drive that growth and ensure that we don't lose this opportunity to drive economic growth through this region.
Absolutely. It sounds like a huge, huge change coming, hugely exciting. So thank you, Sachaki. Now, Bangalore is to become India's first multimodal transport hub, offering seamless travel integration for passengers. So perhaps you could tell me a little bit about this project, when it will be completed, and why you think it will be a game changer.
I mean, that's the other very exciting part of the growth here. For those of you who aren't aware, again, of the genesis of this airport, as I said before, earlier in the conversation, the old airport is at the heart of the city with no space to grow. So when the government thought about setting up this new airport, they set it up as a 4,000-acre campus about 35 kilometers north of the city because of the fact that it was the only place where you could get a combination of topography, available land over 4,000 acres, airspace corridors to make sure there was no major conflict, and within reasonable proximity of the city and where they believed growth corridors would naturally drive the population towards. So if you took all of that into consideration, they set up this airport about 35 kilometers north of the city. And while that was exceptionally well orchestrated, I think like a lot of projects in India, the challenge has been in getting public transport corridors to come through to these new greenfield projects. And I don't think it's just an Indian problem, but I think it's been a challenge in many places in the world, in the sense that you can deliver the airport or pieces of infrastructure without all of it coming together necessarily right at the start. So we've been working with the state government as well as the central government and various other nodal agencies, financing, multilateral agencies, etc., to sort of try and expedite the arrival of the metro here to the airport. And that is a project that is now firmly underway with the support of both central and state governments. And the Bangalore Metro is expected to get to the airport in sometime in 2026, 2027, around that time frame. What we've therefore done is that when we set out the planning principles for Terminal 2, and when we thought about the growth of this airport with a new terminal, we were very clear in the fact that one of the guiding principles for growth would be that we would try to move as much of the land, as much of the transport that comes to the airport, the origin destination traffic that comes to the airport, to public transport and away from private vehicles. And in order to do that, we needed to have a link to the airport from large parts of the city that was reliable, that was, affordable, and that had frequent metro. And if you talk about the ability to connect, is the fact that you need it at an affordable cost and you need it at a frequency, which means that people will be able to use it to come here as far as possible. And that's expected through the delivery of the metro connectivity, like I said, in the next 3 or 4 years. So when we set out the design principles for Terminal 2, we decided that we would also need to have a comprehensive multimodal transport hub in the forecourt of both terminals. And that's now sited right in front of Terminal 2 and within very easy walking distance or connection to Terminal 1 as well. And the idea is that under a single facility, it will house the metro as well as all of the buses, both sort of, you know, city buses that come in from the city, as well as potentially the longer term, long distance buses that come from some of the hinterland and some of the areas that drive traffic to Bangalore Airport. So if you account for the fact that the facility sits right outside the airport terminal, we're very excited about the fact that you bring three modes of transport here between the rail through the metro, the land transport on the road through buses, and the air transport, which sits in the terminal, all almost under one roof. And the MMTH is connected directly to the terminal too. And you can actually drop your bags off there. It's been designed in a way that you can drop your bags off there and you can just proceed to check-in and through the check-in hall to security and boarding. So we believe that once it's completely operational, the ability for passengers in the longer term or even the medium term to be able to have city check-in facilities, the ability to sort of, you know, get rid of their bags at two or three areas, maybe in the city and do other things and then come to the airport when they want to using public transport, very similar to what one could do at Hong Kong or some other cities in the world, will really change the way people travel here because it creates a lot more choice, it creates flexibility, and it creates the ease of traveling using public transport that you don't always get when you're having to constantly hire a taxi or hire, you know, or bring private cars to the airport. It will also decongest our roads. And from a decarbonization and sustainability perspective, I think it's going to be a game changer in the fact that the number of private vehicles on the road are expected to significantly reduce. We're already, I think, doing all of the right things from a sustainability perspective. The airport is powered 100% by renewable energy today, and we have very strong incentives to drive that change through as we move forward. We've got a lot of, you know, water retention ponds here across the airport, so the water positivity index is 2.36 now at the airport, up from 1.37 a few years ago. And we've got our own solid waste disposal plant here at the airport, which means that we have zero disposal to landfills. And that's something also that we've taken exceptionally seriously over the course of the last decade in terms of pushing for the highest principles of sustainability to be embedded into every project that we do. The other reason why we're particularly excited by the arrival of the metro and the multimodal transport hub is that besides the multimodal transport hub itself, which is a terminating station in front of the new terminal, we're going to have a second station to the west, just as you enter the airport within the first kilometer, which will serve the wider airport city district. We have about 460 acres of land here that we're developing as the Bangalore Airport City project, and that will be serviced by the metro station that's being developed for those areas. So you have the ability to use public transport, not just to come to the terminal to catch a flight, but you could use the metro to come to the airport city also for, you know, anything that you might want to do there in the longer term. So I think the fact that you will have metro and public transport access here to the airport in the next 3 or 4 years will definitely go a long way to increasing connectivity, to reducing travel times to and from the airport. And especially in a city like Bangalore, where we have legendary traffic because of the volumes that you've seen on the roads in terms of traffic, you know, traffic growth on our roads. I think this will be a huge, an exceptionally welcome sign in terms of the, from a consumer perspective, to make sure that they can access the airport in the easiest way possible.
So looking ahead then, Sachaki, what is BL's vision for the next 15 years? I know you touched upon the explosion in passenger numbers, but what else is in store?
So I think that growth in passenger numbers is probably going to drive a lot of our expansion plans. As I said, we've just delivered a new runway a few years ago, and eventually this campus will only have two runways because it doesn't have space for more than two runways. So in the longer term, that will be our constraint, the fact that we have only two runways, and we expect our traffic eventually to be limited by that rather than anything else. We've delivered the first phase of Terminal 2. We will now embark on the refurbishment and upgrade of Terminal 1, which is our older terminal, and we will make sure that that starts off later this year. And that's the first major improvement project when we finish this phase of development. We will then add a second phase to Terminal 2. In the meanwhile, we're working on the multimodal transport hub that we just spoke about. And once the metro is in there, I think that will be fully functional in a few years. The other part of development will include a western cross taxiway to sort of go hand in glove with the eastern cross taxiway that we already have. We will also have expanded cargo facilities. We will have a future Terminal 3. We don't yet know the location and extent, because the current terminals will get us out to about 60 million or thereabouts, depending on how we peak. But we will need the second phase of Terminal 2, which will add a further 20 million in capacity to get us to about 80 million. And then we will probably need Terminal 3 to get us out to somewhere between 90 and 100 million, which is the saturation capacity of this airport. So I think over the course of the next decade, certainly by the early 2030s, we should be well in excess of 75 to 80 million passengers. So I think all of these projects over the course of the next few years will have to be timed, financed, and delivered without too much delay, because I think every time we've sort of almost paused because of a disaster like COVID, for instance, or the collapse of an airline, you know, and various industry-related issues that we don't have too much control over here at the airport. I think the traffic has come back and rebounded at a pace that very few of us could have imagined. So from our perspective, I think over the next 10 years, this is going to be an exceptionally busy airport in terms of both master planning as well as capital program planning, budgeting, financing, and execution. We're just kicking off a master plan update later this year as well, because there have been so many changes in the post-COVID world. Also, the airline industry in India has fundamentally changed over the course of the last 2 or 3 years, with the Tatas taking over Air India, with IndiGo's growth, continued growth, with the start of Akasa, which is the newest kid on the block here in India from an airline perspective. All of this has meant that we're constantly having to reassess our own current capacity, how demand is changing, what those sort of drivers of demand are and what they're going to be, and how technology is going to impact the way we're going to have to think about our operation processes, customer experience, commercial revenues, and things like that. I forgot to mention this earlier, but when you talk about Akasa, which is the newest airline here in India, I mean, that started last July. In fact, I think this month we'll probably celebrate the first anniversary of Akasa's inception in India. But out of their first 20 aircraft that they've taken delivery of, about 16 or 17 of them have been based in Bangalore. So we've really, you know, created the platform for new airlines to grow as well. We did it with Air Asia about 10 years ago, and we're now doing it with Akasa. And that's something that I think every one of us at BIAL is very, very excited by, very proud of, because we allow new airlines the opportunity to grow by creating the capacity, by working closely with them to ensure that they can meet the needs of their customers, who at the end of the day are our customers as well. And over the course of time, drive down consumer charges, because we're creating more opportunity, more sort of more airlines, more options for the consumer. In addition to these three airlines, we've also got Star Air, which is a small regional carrier, which is based out of Bangalore, and they've connected some very interesting cities. But I think the wider point here is that this demand is constantly sort of changing and flexing, and we've got to be nimble enough to be able to cope with that changing demand, with the sort of changing passenger and customer expectation, a fair degree of personalization that everybody expects today, and sort of the ubiquitous use of the mobile phone in order to deal with all of this, right? What we've done over the course of the last 3 or 4 years is also a heavy investment in innovation and digital transformation. We've automated all of our processes here at the airport, so we are completely paperless as far as the organization is concerned. We've got a data analytics project which underpins all of our operational processes here at the airport, whether it comes to capacity planning or daily tactical planning and many, many such initiatives. We're also working on looking at our commercial revenue a whole lot more closely using data. So that those projects are being driven by our data analytics project. We've got a third project that kicked off here which has now become pan-Indian, and it's called the DigiYatra project. I mean, it's now an Indian initiative, but it was conceptualized here at the Innovation Lab in Bangalore Airport. And that is now completely rolled out across 6 airports in India. It's essentially using your face as your identity and your boarding pass. And we're exceptionally thrilled and chuffed about the fact that it was an idea which was incubated here at the Bangalore Airport and in the Innovation Lab, and has become compelling enough that the project has now been rolled out across India. And finally, we've just, over the course of the last 2 weeks, launched our app, which is called BLR Pulse. And that allows passengers to receive a series of personalized information in terms of understanding better what they can do at the airport, both in terms of information that's provided, whether it's about their flight or waiting times or queuing or anything that's potentially a source of information here for passengers and consumers, but equally allows us to offer a range of tailored services, including, you know, the ability to now order food and beverage to the app and be delivered at the gate. And over the course of the next few months, it will allow us to also do things like lounge booking, hotel booking, potentially expedited security and, you know, immigration, etc., which are things that are being trialed. It's not something that's been rolled out yet at most Indian airports, but we're hoping that over the course of the next few years, we can add all of those things as well into the BLR Pulse app. So, you know, we're constantly trying to think of ways that we can put the customer at the center of everything. And I think, hopefully, more often than not, we get it right. But over the course of the next decade, as we grow and as we sort of transform from being a 30, 40 million passenger airport to an 80 to 90 million passenger airport, I think we're going to have to constantly evolve and innovate and look at how changing consumer needs are being sort of addressed. I think in the past, airports haven't been very quick to do some of these things. I think the last 10 years across the world, the aviation industry has changed. And one of the things, one of the few good things that came out of COVID was the enhanced collaboration between all stakeholders across the ecosystem. And I think we're seeing a lot more of that now. And therefore, I think a lot of the development that we're seeking to do, whether it's sort of the infrastructure investments that we make constantly or the people, process and technology initiatives that we look at, I think all of these are going to be driven in large part by a younger crowd, a more self-aware and self-confident crowd. And the fact is that we're going to have to adapt and make sure that we, you know, keep them happy. And I think that's going to be a challenge, but I think it's something that we welcome, and that's the fun part of the business.
Absolutely. That was very well said. Thinking about personalization as a side question, do you think that the days of passenger personas are behind us? Are they a little bit too far devolved, like now that we have so much data?
I don't know offhand. I think that's a good question. I think most airports, or not just airports, but let's say airlines, travel companies, etc., will still try to build some of these things across the ecosystem using broad personas. It's very difficult unless you have a lot of data and a whole lot of computing power and the ability to look at it very carefully. To personalize to a very, very high degree, I think takes 10 years. It really requires a sort of, you know, ability of a Google or a Netflix or Facebook, etc. And they have so much data and they have so much ability with computing power and the ability to, even from an operating cost perspective, to hire very intelligent people who can run all these algorithms, for instance, and potentially give you all of this hyper-personalized feed. So I think it could happen at some point in the future, but I would still say that we're in early days, and I think it's going to be a while before airports can move away from some degree of generalization as far as personas are concerned, because we just don't have enough yet to go by. It's probably going to happen in a few years, but, you know, I'm a bit wary at this point, given all of the privacy concerns and what you can and can't do. I think too much of personalization and too much of data in the wrong hands and the ability to kind of drive too much commercial sort of, let's say, incentive-driven growth, it may or may not be in the best interest of the consumer. So I think we have to walk that balance very carefully.
Absolutely. Now, we've looked at the regional benefits that the airports bring, but looking beyond borders, how would you say BLR is positioning itself as an emerging global gateway of India and perhaps, you know, looking to promote regional integration?
So, as I said before, I think we've already done that fairly successfully over the course of the last 4 or 5 years. We're connected to 75 international, or maybe 76 right now, I can't remember, but it's 75 or 76 domestic destinations today nonstop from Bangalore. And pre-COVID, it was 55 or 56. So just over the course of the last 3 or 4 years, we've actually added about 20 domestic destinations. And many of them have been sort of to places that when I was growing up, if you had said that we'd have a flight between Bangalore to some of these places, I would have laughed because, you know, we would never have thought of them as possible nonstop destinations out of the big cities. That's because of the fact that a lot of growth in India, not just in Bangalore, but across India, is happening in tier two and tier three metropolitan regions. I mean, these towns and sort of urban agglomerations that weren't that sort of well served before are now starting to be far more relevant. People are starting to fly. And I think the fact is that air travel is driving their economic growth as well. So you're seeing more and more nonstop connectivity to such places. That's doing two things. One, it's driving a lot more traffic from tier two to tier one cities. It's also driving a lot of our transfer traffic. So, you know, pre-COVID, we probably had 10% transfer traffic from a domestic perspective. Today, we're closer to 20% in terms of transfer traffic. And I think that's something that's quite interesting from our perspective. It allows for us to have to rethink completely our processes. It needs us to think about the transfer passenger in a different way. It also has to, you know, then drive facility sizing in a different way because of the longer dwell times. On the upside, it gives us the opportunity for commercial revenue and the ability to monetize some of this as well. The second aspect is that from an international perspective, we've connected a lot more destinations as well over the course of the last few years. I outlined many of them in my earlier response, so I'm not going to go into that again. But if you combine that with the fact that we've done a lot more domestic connectivity to smaller destinations, we're seeing the benefits of that already because some of these international routes are viable because we're able to connect so many secondary destinations in the hinterland. So when we had Qantas, for instance, come here, I think one of the reasons they picked Bangalore was not just because of the strength of the Bangalore market itself, but because we connected so many points from Bangalore Airport to about 23 destinations in and around within a 75-minute flying distance. And the fact is that with the right code share partner, they were able to ensure that they could get all of that behind and beyond feed as well. And you will see more of that happening, not just in Bangalore, I think at some of the larger airports in India, you will see that happening. So in addition to point-to-point growth that you will see across all of the tier two and tier three cities, which will happen over the next decade, especially to the Middle East, Southeast Asia, and leisure destinations, you will find that the knock-on effect of that is that enhanced connectivity between tier one and tier one cities here in India, as well as between tier two and tier three cities, which also drives international traffic growth and cargo growth. So I think the ability for us to be able to connect those places, the ability to invest in world-class infrastructure, technology, and, you know, enhanced customer experience that we've really focused on over the course of the last decade and a half here at Bangalore Airport sets us up really well to serve as the natural gateway to South and Central India. I mean, I'm biased, of course, because I really do think that we are the best airport in India by far. And I'm not just saying this because I work for Bangalore Airport. I think we have great facilities. We have exceptionally committed staff. We have stakeholder partners across government agencies who've also been instrumental in ensuring that we are a gateway of choice. And I think we've got a team here that's very excited about doing the right thing. And we have a state government and central government who were very, very driven by the fact that they want to see larger aviation development or more hub development here in India. And I think they've been working with us very closely also through a number of initiatives to ensure that we can grow. And I think you will see that bearing fruition over the course of the next decade. So I think we are just on the cusp of doing some very exciting things, and not just as Bangalore Airport, but Indian aviation in general. I think we are better positioned than a lot of other airports because we are, along with Delhi, we're the only airport in India to have two independent parallel runways. And so we have the capacity, we have the infrastructure, we have the right ingredients in place, and we have a number of, you know, things going for us with respect to the right airlines being here already. So I'm very excited. I think it's going to be fascinating to see what happens over the next decade. And I'm really thrilled that, you know, I've got a chance and the team here has got a chance to be part of it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Satyaki. It sounds really, really exciting. You've had a very successful past 15 years and you have a lot to look forward to in the next 15. And we very much look forward to reading about it, of course, in the news pages of International Airport Review. But Satyaki, that was my final question. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Holly. It's always a pleasure. And we look forward to reading more about not just Bangalore Airport, but a number of the other exciting airports that you keep featuring in IAR. So thank you so much once again for the opportunity to have this chat.
Thank you for listening to this International Airport Review podcast. Remember to subscribe to the magazine and the podcast channel to be notified every time a new episode is posted. Make sure you come back again soon to listen to our next guest.